The Sports Report is brought to you by iHome, the number one brand in digital audio. From Lightning Dock alarm clocks to rechargeable Bluetooth boomboxes and quality affordable headphones, iHome has you covered. To learn more, head to iHomeAudio.com. Welcome to episode number 465 of the Sports Report. I'm Paul Roberts on GrizzlyProductions.tv. New shows every Monday. The show is available in the podcast section of iTunes. And you can follow me on Twitter. I'm at TheSportsRPT. That's a great way to get involved with the show. On Twitter at TheSportsRPT. Always appreciate your feedback there. And we love to see the five-star reviews on iTunes. I'll break down all 8 NBA playoff games from this weekend, and there were some nail biters. I'll take a peek at the Stanley Cup playoffs and some surprises from Major League Baseball. How about my Yankees? Plus, find out what food item is selling out at Mariners games. You have to hear this story. Unless you're eating, then you probably don't want to hear this story. I could not believe it. All of that coming up here on episode 465 of the Sports Report. Hope everybody had a great Easter. I was loving life. The weather this weekend, I'm about an hour from Philadelphia, Southeast PA, and it was beautiful. Actually, over 80 degrees on Easter Sunday. The sun is out again today. Winter, get the heck out of here. Baseball's back. We have the NBA and NHL playoffs to talk about. The draft in the NFL isn't far away, so there's a lot to get to. Good time of the year. I'm a warm weather guy. 4 years at Syracuse University was enough snow for a lifetime. Let's start with hoops. The big story going into game one between the Celtics and Bulls was Isaiah Thomas. Boston star guard was playing just one day after his 22-year-old sister, China, was killed in a car accident. Very sad story. I can't even imagine what Isaiah Thomas was going through on the court. Everybody grieves differently. There's no right or wrong way. I've got zero issue with his decision to play. I know there were some media bobbleheads before this one talking about whether he should play. That is totally his call. That's a personal decision. Nobody but Isaiah Thomas can make that type of decision. Maybe it was good to try and focus on basketball for a few hours during such an emotional time. His teammates were there and supporting him, which is another positive of playing in the game. The fans were behind him 100%. You heard the MVP chants early on. And he played well, too. He had 33 points. He got to the free throw line a lot. Exciting little player to watch. The place was going bonkers when Thomas hit an early three-pointer. And then he threw a pass between his legs, which drew some oohs and ahs from the fans. Boston definitely had Uncle Mo on its side in that first quarter. But Chicago hung tough. Three things stood out from a Bulls perspective. Number one, Jimmy Butler played like a star. And when you get to this point in the season, you need your big-time players to come through. And he did. He had 30 points. He made 2 late free throws in the final seconds to ice the game, 106-102. He also had 9 rebounds. Secondly, Bobby Portis came through with 19 points on 8 of 10 shooting. Huge lift off the bench. He was 3 of 4 from beyond the arc. He had 9 rebounds. And then number 3, Chicago absolutely dominated on the glass. Plus 17 rebounding margin for the Bulls. 53-36. And Boston won 53 games by outworking a lot of teams. Blue-collar type of club. In game one, however, Chicago outworked Boston on the backboard. And that was a big, big key in this game. The Bulls' second unit also clearly outplayed the Celtics bench. And no disrespect to Boston, but I just don't view the Celtics as a true number one seed. They're not a juggernaut to me. I think they overachieved, which is to their credit. I tip my cap to them. I love teams that work hard, play hard, and that's what they did. They're a very good team. I don't throw around the word great as often as a lot of people do. So I can't say that they're a great team. I do think they're a very, very good team and very well coached as well. The Bulls barely got into the playoffs. 41-41 took to the last night of the regular season for them to get in. But they've got a stud in Butler, and they have experienced players like D-Wade and Rondo in the backcourt. And, oh, by the way, did you hear Charles Barkley before the game? He was on TNT, and he said that the Bulls had, quote, zero chance of winning that game. Zero. Oops. I still love Sir Charles, though. Cracks me up, and he's not afraid to be honest with people. In this day and age of homerism in all sports, I appreciate the honesty from Charles Barkley. And I grew up watching almost every game he played. Huge Sixers fan with Johnny Dawkins, Hersey Hawkins, the G-Man, Mike Jaminski, Rick Mahorn, Armin Gilliam, Ron Anderson, Scotty Brooks, Thunder Bob Thornton. Those were the days. Problem was, there was this guy named Jordan in the Eastern Conference, and that was a bit of an issue for Charles Barkley. Do you think that the number 8 seed Chicago can pull off this series? They won game 1 on the road, but can they win the series? I want you to respond on Twitter. I'm at the Sports RPT, the Sports RPT on Twitter. Can Chicago win the series? The number 4 seed in the East, Washington, took down Atlanta 114-107. The Wizards exploded for 38 points in the third quarter after trailing by 3 at halftime. John Wall went for 32. That is a playoff career high for him. He had 15 in that big third quarter. He also had 14 assists. How quick is this guy? Good luck trying to stay in front of John Wall. And Bradley Beal had 22. That is a tough backcourt to contain. And those guys are both young. I've liked Beal for a long, long time. The X factor to me was Markieff Morris, who is a Philly guy. I saw him play in high school. 21 points in his first playoff game. Atlanta could not have been anticipating 21 from Morris. And here's an interesting nugget. The Hawks went to the free throw line 39 times, the Wizards 17, yet Washington won. Wow. Minus 22 in free throw attempts, and you win the game? That is strange. Game 2, Wednesday. To the West, the MVP series. Number 3 seed Houston, number 6 OKC. James Harden undoubtedly got the better of Russell Westbrook. Harden had 37, 9 assists, 7 rebounds. Westbrook shot just 6 of 23. He had 22 points, he had 11 rebounds, he had 7 assists, but he shot awful. And he turned it over 9 times. So round 1 of this heavyweight tilt goes to the bearded wonder, James Harden. Patrick Beverley, very intense player. He stepped up 21 and 10 boards. Houston just locked down the Thunder in the second half. OKC was held to 33 second half points. 33. In the fourth quarter, they only scored 13 points. Rockets cruised 118-87. Game 2 is Wednesday. Warriors and Trailblazers all tied up after 3 quarters. This is a very entertaining game. And then start of the fourth is when the top-seeded Warriors took control with a 15-2 run. The stars were out for this one. KD had 32 and 10 boards in his first playoff game with Golden State, so I think we can say he is healthy now. Steph Curry had 29. Draymond Green, how impressive was he? Doing it at both ends, nearly a triple-double. 19 points, 12 rebounds, 9 assists, plus 5 blocks and 3 steals. I mean, you want to talk about filling up a box score, that is it. Draymond Green was phenomenal on the defensive end. How about some of those blocks he had? CJ McCollum went for 41 for Portland. Damian Lillard had a big day. They combined for 75 points. Problem was, they need some help, and they need a third scoring option, and they did not get it in game number one. So Golden State wins it with a big fourth quarter. Just getting started with the NBA. Much more on the opening weekend coming up of the NBA playoffs. But first, I want to tell you about our sponsor, and that is iHome. iHome has introduced its Zenergy line of products. They feature sound and light therapy technology, which helps you to fall asleep and wake up energized and ready to go. And that's something that is important to each and every one of us. These new iHome products have soothing sounds from nature and white noise designed to help your mind and your body relax. They also include specially designed light therapy programs to promote sleep and increase your energy during the day. Dr. Michael Bruce is known as the sleep doctor, and he recommends these new iHome products. He is the most trusted authority on sleep in the nation. So go to the website, iHomeAudio.com, and take a look at the Zenergy line of products, like the bedside sleep therapy machine and the portable sleep therapy speaker, iHomeAudio.com. If you need help getting to sleep, check it out. Back on episode 465, rolling along here, talking hoops and the NBA playoffs. On to Saturday, we had two really close games and two that were not. I'm sure the LeBron haters out there were disappointed that number 7 seed Indiana did not pull off the upset. Pacers had the ball in the final seconds with a shot to win it on the road. And I think if you're a Pacers fan, you sign for that scenario before the game if you can get it. Cleveland did not play real well down the stretch, blew a 10-point lead in the fourth quarter. Obviously, the Cavaliers aren't happy about that. I did like what they did on the final possession defensively. Everybody knows that Paul George wants the last shot. Now, his statistics at the end of the game, not good. When he's going for a tie or for a win, he really has not shot it well. But he wanted the ball. J.R. Smith is guarding him. LeBron comes over to double-team George, who is just outside the three-point line, top of the key. They force him to give it up. Great move. Pass goes to C.J. Miles. He misses a 14-15 footer just before the buzzer. Game over. Jumper was online, but it was short. Here's my thinking. If I'm going to lose, I don't want the other team's best player to beat me. Somebody else on that team has to make that shot. And I will roll the dice with CJ Miles, who only had 5 points in 16 minutes in this game, as opposed to Paul George. And I heard what the stats were with George at the end of the game. He has been downright brutal. But this guy is still a star in the league. He's a top 10 player in the NBA. So if you're telling me CJ Miles or Paul George for the win, I'm going to double team George all the time and make somebody else beat me. If Miles hits the shot, you tip your cap. But, and this is a Fat Albert size but, you do not let the other team's superstar take you out at the horn. So, good move by LeBron to double George. George had a team-high 29 points in game one, and he was 6 of 8 from three-point land. Shot it really well. George was very honest after the game. He said, quote, "In situations like that, I got to get the last shot. In that situation, I need the ball. Now, he did add that he's confident in his teammates, but it was very, very clear he was not happy with how the game ended. And you could see his body language after that shot was missed. He did go up to Miles and talk to him about it. I just don't know that Miles had enough time to get the ball back to George. CJ only got that pass with 4 seconds left. I mean, he had to do something there. Time's running out. You have to get a shot up there. If he tries to get it back to George, it's going to be a forced shot there. So he had a clean look. He was open. You know, it wasn't like he's taking a shot from 35 feet here. He had a good look from 15, and he missed it. Cleveland hung on, 109 to 108. And Paul George did what you're supposed to do. You're double-teamed. You got to give it up. You know, sometimes I hear these knuckleheads trying to talk about basketball and saying that the star, usually it's LeBron, they got on him about this before, that they must take the final shot. Well, if you're double-teamed, what are you supposed to do? Take some off-balance, you know, shot where you're sideways, you're not squared up, you know, just fling it up there? That's stupid. This is the NBA. This isn't CYO or high school basketball. These are professional players. If they have a wide open shot, they should make the shot. All right? This is professional basketball. This is the highest level in the world. So, you know, Paul George did the right thing. Miles just missed the shot. Cleveland wins it by one. Cavs missed 13 free throws in this game. Otherwise, it's not that close. They were 14 to 27 from the free throw line, and they were also out-rebounded by Indiana. It was not a Rembrandt, it was not a Picasso, but it is a win for the Cavaliers, and that's kind of what LeBron said afterward. He led everybody with 32 points. He had 13 assists. He also had 6 rebounds, and that's, you know, one reason I've never compared him to Jordan. To me, he's always been much more like Magic because of the way that he passes the ball. Did you see that one bullet pass that he threw with one hand from the top of the key, three-point line, down to the baseline for an easy layup? I mean, just rifled it in there. Kyrie Irving did not shoot well in this game, but he had 23 points. He was only 1 of 9 from three. Kevin Love had 17. But a couple of head scratchers here. Only 4 rebounds for Love, and he only had 1 assist. When you think about him with his great outlet passes, he can pass for a big guy. Cleveland only scored 17 points in the fourth quarter. Now, my stance on the Cavs hasn't changed one bit. You know, people always squawk about how vulnerable the Cavaliers are, and, you know, when they struggle from time to time during the regular season, but name me a better team in the Eastern Conference. I'll wait. Still waiting. There isn't one. Period, end of story. There isn't. Boston may be the number one seed, but nobody can convince me that the Celtics are better than Cleveland. As long as you have LeBron and Kyrie and Kevin Love, I am not going against that team in the East. LeBron played in his 200th playoff game Saturday. He has won 18 consecutive first-round games. The other good one on Saturday was Utah at LA, the 4-5 matchup in the West. Both teams won 51 games this season. LA won the season series, so they're home. Quinn Snyder deserves a lot of credit. He really, really does. This opener also came down to the final seconds. The veteran Joe Johnson answered Chris Paul's bucket with one of his own to win it 97-95. I wonder how many of you, be honest, did not even know that Joe Johnson was now on the Utah Jazz. And he's been around the league for a long, long time. Utah did not call a timeout after CP3's shot, and I think that's a good move. When you call a timeout, you let the defense set up. If you don't, you can get more of a free-flowing type of look offensively where everything's not bogged down in there. So good decision there not to use the timeout by Utah. Johnson was isolated with Jamal Crawford. He got into the lane. He put up a floater. It bounced high off the rim and then came down, rattled around, and dropped through. DeAndre Jordan rotated over, and I mean barely missed blocking that shot. Johnson had 21 points, a team high. Tremendous touch, tremendous arc on that shot. Now, he didn't get a friendly roll, but hey, he's been around a long time. He deserves it. Clippers fans were just stunned. The Jazz won this one despite playing without center Rudy Gobert. And you're talking about a seven-footer who averages a double-double. Pretty good player. He had a left knee hyperextension and a bone bruise. X-rays were negative, and the MRI did not show any ligament damage. Gobert got hurt just 17 seconds into the game. Big loss. And Utah still won it. Gordon Hayward had 19 points, 10 rebounds. George Hill added 16. Clippers got 26 from Blake Griffin, 25 from Chris Paul. But no one else had more than 10. I mean, this was a similar situation to Portland, where you had Lillard and McCollum go off and nobody else really did much of anything offensively. LA shot 8 of 24 from 3. You don't expect that at home. Crawford 0 for 4 from downtown. Game 2 Tuesday. You know, LA has big name talent. CP3 is a Hall of Fame point guard. But I just can't take the Clip Show over the Warriors or the Spurs. And now LA is in a battle with Utah. Not easy to trust the Clippers in the postseason. Number 2 seed San Antonio. Now here's a team you can trust. Spurs demolished Memphis 111-82 in Game 1. Kawhi Leonard had 32. That ties his playoff high. And I love efficiency. I harp on it all the time. Efficiency. He got 32, and he only needed to take 14 shots. That's tremendous. LaMarcus Aldridge went for 20. Tony Parker, the veteran, at 18. Spurs shot 53% as a team. And they move the ball. They get good looks. They make the extra pass. You go from a good shot to a great shot. That's what they do. And it starts with pop. They were 10 of 19 from downtown. San Antonio only up 3 at the half. The third quarter was 32-15 in favor of the Spurs. They more than doubled them up. They have won 9 straight playoff games against Memphis. So San Antonio just owns the Grizzlies, who are without Tony Allen due to a strained right calf. And he is a pivotal defensive player for that team. Memphis in trouble here. Back to the Eastern Conference, number 6 seed Milwaukee won at Toronto 97-83. Big win there for the Bucks. Raptors led by 5 at the break, but only scored 32 points in the whole second half. Dwayne Casey called it abysmal, and he's right. 7 of 35 shooting in the second half. Jeez, huh? Toronto has lost Game 1 in 8 consecutive series. Don't you win one by accident? 8 straight Game 1s they have lost. The Greek Freak was brilliant. He had 28 points, 13 of 18 shooting. Rookie Malcolm Brogdon had 16 and 4 threes. Greg Monroe, big guy, provided a boost off the bench. 14 points, 15 rebounds. Bucks only committed 5 turnovers. That is outstanding. Kyle Lowry could not throw it in the ocean for Toronto. He was 2 of 11, only 4 points. Toronto shot just 36% and 5 of 23 from 3-point land. Very, very disappointing effort. This is a series that they should win. And they had home court advantage. I'm definitely not counting out the Raptors, but man, oh man, that was ugly in the third and fourth quarters. Game 2 of this series is Tuesday. What is your biggest takeaway from the first weekend of the NBA playoffs? If you had to narrow it down to one, I'll give you a couple options here. Boston losing to number 8 seed Chicago. Cleveland just squeaking by Indiana. Harden outdoing Russell Westbrook. Or Draymond Green's all-around performance. Your biggest takeaway from the first weekend. Let me know on Twitter at the SportsRPT. SportsRPT on Twitter. Once again, hope all of you had a great Easter weekend. Hope you were able to spend it with friends and family. I think we hit about 175 Easter eggs, and there are only three kids hunting. My nephew is 7, and then my cousin Carl, his 2 kids who are really little. So for them, I just kind of throw them out in the middle of the grass, just throw them in the middle of the lawn so they can find them. But each kid, I think, got around 60 eggs. And then the food. Oh, geez. We really need to call in Judge Judy or Judge Joe Brown to make a ruling on who has to take what food home. Because nobody ever wants to take it. And my dad gets angry because all the leftovers end up in his refrigerator. Oh, but it was a good time. The weather was nice, too. Let's get to a pinball on ice, the Stanley Cup playoffs. I think Barry Melrose is great on TV. He's funny. He's very conversational. And he's knowledgeable. He knows the players, knows the coaches, knows the league. He says that Pittsburgh is the best team, even though Washington is the number one seed. The Caps had 118 points in the regular season. But Barry Melrose says Pittsburgh's the best team. First round matchup with the Blue Jackets here. This is a doozy because you have two teams with the second and third most points in the regular season in the East. And they're meeting in the first round. That's hockey. Well, Pittsburgh won 5-4 in overtime on Sunday. So the Penguins now up 3-0. Pittsburgh was down 3-1 in the first period of this game on the road. And Columbus is a tough team. I mean, that is a 50-win hockey club. Jake Guentzel had a hat trick for the Penguins, including the game winner. He is only 22. He's just a rookie. That guy, living the dream. Marc-Andre Fleury, who is not supposed to be playing, but Matt Murray gets injured. So Marc-Andre Fleury has done a really good job in this series. He had 33 saves. Game 4 is Tuesday. Rangers lost to the Canadiens 3-1. Montreal leads 2-1 here. Montreal, the Atlantic Division champ. New York has lost 6 consecutive home playoff games, which I think kind of proves about home field, how it doesn't really matter there. So the Rangers down 2-1. Momentum has definitely swung in this series. It looked like New York was going to be up 2-0, now down 2-1. Blues over the Wild, 3-1. Jake Allen, the story of this series, he had 40 saves on Sunday. He has stopped 114 of 117 shots. Man, oh man. St. Louis has won the first 3 games, so the Blues clearly in control. Game 4 Wednesday in St. Louis. How about the Oilers? First time in the playoffs in 11 years. And Edmonton has shut out San Jose 1-0. The Sharks are 1 of 14 on the power play in this series. Not getting it done. Cam Talbot got his 2nd straight shutout. So Edmonton's up 2-1. Game 4 is Tuesday. That's a look at the NHL here on episode 465 of the Sports Report. I'm Paul Roberts with you every Monday on GrizzlyProductions.tv. Tell your friends, coworkers, family members if they're into sports. Give the show a try every Monday. You can also find me in the podcast section of iTunes. Just do a search for the Sports Report with Paul Roberts, and the show will come right up there. Love, love, love to see the 5-star reviews. Let's get to the diamond. The early season surprises continue in Major League Baseball. How about my Yankees winning 7 straight? Just got the brooms out and swept St. Louis. I did not see this coming. Everybody talks about the rebuilding, and their farm system is loaded. I mean, it is phenomenal. But right now, New York's up there with Baltimore. The Orioles are 8-3, best record in baseball. But closer Zach Britton is on the 10-day DL with a strained forearm. Hopefully that is nothing serious. He's one of the best around. In fact, Britton has converted 54 straight saves. That's the second longest streak ever. Only Eric Gagne of the Dodgers had more. So Yankees a pleasant surprise. Chase Headley's hitting over 400. Aaron Judge, Aaron Hicks, each have three home runs. And I think same is true for the Minnesota Twins. How many of you had the Twinkies over 500? I don't think so. And the Reds lead the Central. That's right. Not the Cubs, not the Cardinals. The Cincinnati Reds. That's a club that is extremely young. A lot of rookies on Cincinnati's roster. They're 8-5. Colorado's on top out west at 9-5. The surprise to me, the Rockies are only averaging 3.5 runs per game. You know, I would think if they're going to win, it's because of the offense. They do have a very, very good lineup. But they're really not scoring a lot of runs now, and they're 9-5. Some teams that most people thought would be really, really good are struggling. Toronto, 2-10. Whew. Worst record in baseball. St. Louis, 3-9. A minus 22 run differential. Tied with San Diego for the worst in the game. Cardinals. Texas with Yu Darvish, Cole Hamels, only 4-8. Cleveland, with all those pitchers, 5-7, last place in the AL Central. Indians giving up 5.5 runs a game. And then you have the Giants at 5-9. Heck, even the Cubs are only at the 500 mark, and they just got swept by the Pirates. Now, please keep in mind these four words. Very, very important. It is still early. Still early. You don't win anything in April and May. But definitely some interesting items there when you look at the standings. Let me know what you think about the first couple weeks of the baseball season on Twitter at the Sports RPT. Now, when it comes to eating, I'm a meat and potatoes type of guy. Nothing real fancy for me. I know what I like. I stick to those things. When I first heard this next story, my mouth dropped. The Mariners sold out of what in the first three games of the season? At the concession stand, what were they selling out of? Give up? I had no idea. I had no clue people actually make this and eat this, but it must be popular. The answer is toasted grasshoppers. That is what they're selling out of. Toasted grasshoppers. Ugh, like I said, I hope it's not dinner time or breakfast time or lunchtime for you, wherever you're at. Because this is disgusting. The Mariners actually called in an emergency order just so that they would not run out this weekend of toasted grasshoppers. The team is also imposing a per-game order limit for the rest of the season. I kid you not. I could not make this up if I tried. The team sold 900 orders of the insects over the first three home games. The grasshoppers are toasted in a chili lime salt and come in a 4-ounce cup. It'll cost you $4. They sold roughly 18,000 grasshoppers, and that is more than the restaurant that runs this stand sells in an entire year. The grasshoppers were added to the ballpark menu as a novelty. They were trying to get some local flair on there. But the team had no idea that they're going to be this popular. Now the Mariners will limit sales to 312 orders per game. Now you say, why 312? All right, there's a reason, a good one. That is in honor of Edgar Martinez's career batting average. He was a career 312 hitter. So that's the limit now on orders, 312. Grasshoppers? Seriously? I mean, what about French fries, a hot dog, a hamburger, some popcorn? What about cotton candy? Grasshoppers? Rather you than me. That's all I'll say there. And again, I apologize if you were eating while listening. This has been episode number 465 of the Sports Report podcast. I am Paul Roberts on grizzlyproductions.tv. And of course, a show available in the podcast section of iTunes. Keep the 5-star reviews coming there. Let me know what you think about the show on Twitter as well. I'm at the Sports RPT. The Sports RPT. You have questions, comments about NBA playoffs, Stanley Cup playoffs, toasted grasshoppers? No, probably not that. But anything else, let me know on Twitter at the Sports RPT. Enjoy the weather. Have a great week, everybody. I'll talk to you again next Monday. I'm Paul Roberts on grizzlyproductions.tv.